And good morning, everyone. This is the WGTD Radio Theater. And we are on the air in this, our 11th season. And as summer is fast coming to an end, we bring you three episodes. Just some of your famous and favorite old-time radio comedies. Today we feature the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, the great Gildersleeve, and our Miss Brooks. Today's show is written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ostrup and stars members from the 91.1 Players, and the show today is directed by Barb Tyler. As always, support comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, and also the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation. And now, summer's over. And now, from Hollywood, California, it's the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, young America's favorite couple. Let's check in with the Nelsons, and they are at 1847 Rogers Road, and it looks like Ozzie is cutting the grass.
Harriet! Where are the boys? Harriet? Oh, for Pete's sake. Harriet? Harriet!
Whoa, yes, dear, what's wrong? I'm in the middle of mixing a cake batter here.
Well, I've been trying to get your attention for 10 minutes, dear.
10 minutes? Maybe 5, and I doubt even that, dear.
Well, how do you know?
Because I've been baking cookies, and I have each batch on a timer. Each batch goes in for 11 minutes, and the last one went in 5 minutes ago. Then I started putting this cake together, and I distinctly remember you coming into the kitchen on your way out the door and asking me what I was making for dinner tonight. I told you it was a surprise, and you said, "Why was it a surprise?" And I said, "I'm trying something new, and I didn't want you to know about it just yet."
Okay, you might be right, but where are the boys? I told them to clean out the garage and get it ready for the winter. They're nowhere to be found.
I sent them to the grocery store.
Why?
Because I needed a chicken and some things for tonight's dinner.
So, we're having chicken?
We're having chicken tomorrow. I just thought they might as well pick one up while they were at the store.
They're able to pick out a decent chicken and bring all this home on their bikes?
Yes, dear. They do it all the time. They both have baskets on their bikes, remember? You put the baskets on.
But I need them to clean out the garage.
Well, they'll be back soon. Plenty of time to clean out the garage. Winter is far away.
That may be, Harriet, but we got hit with the polar vortex early last fall, and I don't want to get caught without having winterized everything.
Yes, dear. I need to get back to this mixer. Well, they'll be back soon. And you'll beat that polar vortex. Now, dear, I really have a lot of things going on here, so...
Okay. I'll get out of your hair.
Thanks, dear. It'll be worth it.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, boys. Did you get everything your mother needed?
Yeah, Dad. Look at all this stuff. We both filled our baskets up to the top.
Looks good, boys. Now, put that stuff away for your mother and get back at that garage. And just don't leave the bags out for your mother to deal with. Put it all away.
Okay, Dad.
Good morning, Ozzie. I said good morning, Ozzie.
Oh, morning, Thorny. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Ozzie. Is Harriet in the house?
Yeah, she's baking up a storm.
You two boys talk out here. I'm going to go say hi to Harriet.
So, Ozzie, getting ready for the polar vortex?
You bet, Thorny. I had to get this grass cut first, though. With all this rain and heat we've been having, it's been growing like crazy.
I know what you mean. Weeds have been coming up like, well, weeds.
Same here. Gonna get the weed killer on next.
So do you think we're going to get one of those early polar vortexes like last year?
I don't know, but I'm not taking any chances. I want everything ready in the yard and in the garage. I got caught with all kinds of work that I never got done last fall, and I paid for it all summer long. The garden and flowers have never looked so bad. Tulips and crocuses never came up right. Roses looked dreary. In fact, lost about a third of them. I swear that vortex did something to the ground. Even the vegetables haven't done too well this summer.
Boys, could you pick up a bunch of tomatoes and bring them into the house for me? We grew so many this year, I want to use some in our dinner tonight.
Yeah, okay, Mom.
How many do you want?
Oh, a dozen should do it.
Are you sure that's all you want? There are tons of them out here.
Yes, just a dozen. I have nowhere to put them without the ones that I already have in the refrigerator. And pick some parsley while you're at it.
How much of that do you want?
Oh, a couple of handfuls would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, my garden is in pretty bad shape, too. Nothing is growing right.
Yoo-hoo! Anyone home?
Oh, hi, Helen. Come on in.
I won't be too long. I know you're busy, but I thought I'd stop in and say hi.
I'm glad you did. I need a break. Would you like some coffee?
Sure, but just half a cup.
Oh, here you go.
Thanks.
So, what are you up to this morning?
Thorny and I are just taking a walk. He's out talking to Ozzy, comparing notes about the polar vortex.
Oh, him too. That's all Ozzy talks about. I know it did catch us off guard last fall, but still, it's only August. If we get a polar vortex now, we have bigger problems than our gardens.
Oh, I know. But Thorny has a whole list of things he wants to get done this weekend to prepare, including making sure the furnace is working. In this heat, can you imagine? I have to say, though, it does keep him busy and out of my hair.
That's true enough. Ozzy has the boys cleaning out the garage already. Winter is months away, and he wants the snowblower tuned up and pulled out to the front of the garage. I don't know where he's putting the snowblower and the lawnmower. He won't be able to get the car out of there.
You should see what Thorny did in our garage. He has five, count them, five gas cans full of gasoline all set for the snowblower. Shovels of all sorts and sizes hanging just so on the wall so he can pick the right one for not only snow, but for the type and depth of snow that we get.
Type of snow? Isn't there only one kind?
Oh, no, Harriet. I had that explained to me one day about moisture content, air temperature, ground temperature, amount of sunlight, time of day. It goes on and on.
Oh, who knew?
Oh, Thorny does. He has enough salt in that garage to melt Antarctica, kitty litter in the trunk of the car for better traction, even chains for the tires.
Chains? I thought those weren't allowed anymore.
Oh, but Harriet, you're not understanding. This is survival mode where the rules don't apply.
I think these guys watch too much reality TV.
Oh, bingo. We'll probably have a record warm winter this year. Boys ready for school?
Well, they'll be ready when I tell them to be ready. Actually, I can tell they're getting a bit bored. Only so many trees to climb and pick up softball games to play. In fact, I have to get them to school to register for their classes next week. It's coming up so fast.
Oh, I know. Say, I think it's a time I get a move on. Besides, I know Thorny is itching to get back to his polar vortex list.
Okay, Ellen. Have a good weekend.
You know, Ozzy, elections are right around the corner again.
What? I'm all electioned out. Too much news coverage already.
Oh, yeah, that. I was thinking, though, about the local elections in the spring.
Yep. People got to get their papers in by the end of the year if they're thinking of running.
You thinking about it again, Ozzy?
I don't think so, Thorny. Once was plenty for a while. It's a lot of work doing all that campaigning, especially in the cold of January and February.
True enough. We need some new blood on the city council, though, Ozzy. You always speak your mind and people listen to you.
Yeah. They listen all right until I tell them to vote for me. Then where are they?
I hear you.
Well, I better get back to it, Thorny. I have a lot to do today. Want to get a good start with getting this stuff ready for winter. Once the boys are in school, I lose my helpers.
Now, I've got a few things to do, too. I want to pick up an extra car battery and keep it in the house to keep it warm, just in case things get too cold in the garage. Don't want to get stranded if I need to get someplace this winter.
Ever have that happen?
No, but you never know. I'll be off then, Ozzy. Want to catch the ball game later. Did you hear them talk that the Brewers could get the second wild card?
I'll believe that when I see it.
Okay, Ozzy. See you around. Come on, Helen. Let's finish our walk.
Bye, Thorny.
What is that racket in the garage? I told those boys to clean it out.
Boys, what are you two up to?
What, Dad?
What's all that racket in there?
Look at what we found in here, Dad. Our old drum set.
Yeah, Dad. We thought now that the garage is all cleaned out, David and I could start a band. I could play the guitar and David could play drums.
That sounds like a good idea, boys, but you need a few other guys to make a band.
We could ask some friends. Everyone wants to be in a band, Dad.
Well, that's fine, son, but are you really done cleaning the garage?
Yeah, Dad. Look at it.
I guess you two did. Looks good, boys. Just bring the snowblower outside so I can get it tuned up.
Okay. But don't you still need the lawnmower?
Yeah, I guess so, but how about trying to get both the lawnmower and the snowblower up near the door?
Okay, Dad. We'll figure it out.
Say, boys, if you two have your band in here, where am I going to put my car?
Well, we could practice when you're at work, or we could set everything up in our basement.
Oh, I don't think the basement will be such a good idea, David. I'd be okay with it, but I'm not sure your mother would be. Yeah, no, not sure that your mother would want all that noise in the house.
It wouldn't be noise, Dad. We'd be playing music.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. We'll figure something out, boys. Say, now that you have the garage ready for winter, let's work on the garden. I don't want to lose all those vegetables like we did last year.
Sounds good.
Okay, David, go get some baskets out of the garage and start picking up all the tomatoes.
Even the green ones?
Yeah, we better. Either they ripen on the windowsill or we'll fry them up. Ricky, you work on pulling up the carrots.
Okay, Dad.
What are you guys doing in my garden?
We're harvesting, dear.
Well, just don't get carried away. Some of that stuff is not quite ready. That polar vortex won't be here just yet.
Okay, dear.
Look at all these carrots.
Yes, sirree. We had a great garden this year. Work on those radishes, too.
Where should I put all these tomatoes, Dad?
Just leave them there. We'll take everything in later so we can store it all at once.
What are you working on, Dad?
Well, it looks like your mother planted shallots.
Shallots? What's that?
It's a kind of onion.
I don't remember Mom planting any kind of onion.
Nah, you know your mother. She likes to try new things.
Here comes Mom now.
Oh, hi, dear. Look at all this stuff.
I thought I'd come out and see what you men are all up to. I brought some fresh baked cookies. Here you go.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thanks.
You're the best baker, dear.
Oh, thanks, dear. They did turn out pretty well. You know, in spite of that polar vortex, really had a good garden this year.
Say, Mom, I didn't know you planted onions.
Onions? I didn't plant onions.
They're not exactly onions. They're, Dad, what are they called?
Shallots.
I didn't plant shallots either.
Then what are these?
Well, let me see what you're talking about. What are these? Well, these aren't shallots. These are my tulip bulbs. Oh, Ozzy, I want you to replant these shallots right now. And enough of this polar vortex.
And that was The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet. The show was written by Steve Brown and Mike Olshup. Starring as Ozzy, Siegfried Kristoff. Harriet was played by Julie Burton. David Nelson was Brett Hudek. Ricky Nelson, Gary Lean. Thorny was played by Arthur Dexter. And Helen was Susan Lean. And today's show was directed by Barb Tyla. And now, our Miss Brooks.
Connie, are you up yet?
Yes, Mrs. Davis. I'll be right down.
Okay. I'm making a new breakfast casserole. I hope you like it.
Sounds good, Mrs. Davis. I'm on my way.
Another breakfast casserole. Looks like I'll be heading to Starbucks again. Well, good morning, Mrs. Davis. How are you this fine August morning?
Oh, Connie, good morning. I'm great. I really hope you'll like this new dish I made.
It smells delicious. What is it?
Well, I saw the recipe in the Sunday paper. You mix all these great breakfast foods together and just bake it.
Wonderful. What's in it?
Oh, it was super easy. Just mix it all together and throw it in the oven.
Great. What's in it?
Well, eggs, of course, cheddar cheese, some plain croutons, a bit of green pepper, some crumbled up bacon.
Oh, I do love bacon.
And then you know how salted caramels are the latest culinary trend.
Yes?
Well, you melt down a handful of them and mix that in, too.
Okay. Interesting.
And you know how important protein is.
Yes, I do, Mrs. Davis.
Well, you throw in some peanut butter. They'd say you won't even taste it. You just get the protein.
Oh, my. Sounds like a breakfast of champions.
Oh, would you like a cup of coffee while this is finishing?
Please. Oh, thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Excuse me?
I said no problem.
You mean you're welcome, right?
Sure.
Oh, I do apologize. I just hear people say this, no problem, instead of properly responding with your welcome. As an English teacher, it just bothers me to see the language abused like that.
You know, you're right. That's the way I certainly learned it, but everyone says no problem these days. Haven't you said that the English language evolves?
The English language may evolve when I say it may evolve.
Well, good luck with that one. So what are your plans today? You certainly have had a leisurely summer.
Yes, indeed I have. I'm so glad I took that assistant track and field coach position. Helped me avoid getting a summer job.
I was surprised you did that. You just don't seem like the coaching type.
Please. Anyone can wear a track suit, hold a stopwatch, blow a whistle, and yell, go, go, go.
I suppose so. Will you coach cross country this fall?
Oh, no. They expect those coaches to run with the students in that sport. My mascara would run from the sweat.
Ha ha. I'm sorry, Connie. This casserole is taking longer than it should, and I'm not sure why.
Oh, now don't worry at all about that, Mrs. Davis. I really should be on my way. I have a few errands I want to run. Have to get ready for school. Summer's almost over. Save me a piece for lunch. Bye-bye.
But it should be just another few minutes.
Whew! Not sure if I could have handled that breakfast. On to Starbucks. I think I'll walk this morning. Only a couple blocks.
Miss Brooks, do you need a ride somewhere?
Hi, Miss Brooks.
Hi, Harriet. Hi, Walter. No, I don't need a ride. I'm just walking to Starbucks. Such a nice day. Well, thanks for asking, though.
No problem.
It really is a nice day, isn't it? You're going to Starbucks? My father's on his way there. Walter and I are going to the pool in the park. We're going to lay in the sun.
Lie.
Huh?
You meant to say lay in the sun. You meant to say lie in the sun, not lay.
What's the difference?
Well, one means to recline and the other means to place or put. One needs an object and the other doesn't. The tenses are lie, lay, lane, and lay, laid, lay.
But I did say lay.
An object, Miss Brooks?
Oh, brother. Hey, kids, you better get going before you hold up traffic. Thanks for stopping.
No problem, Miss Brooks. See you at school.
Oh, what is happening to the English language?
Hi, Connie. We missed you this summer.
Why, thank you, Brittany.
No problem, Connie. What would you like?
A medium black coffee.
Which medium?
There are more than one.
Well, like, yeah. As you know, short is small, and then venti is the biggest hot drink size. If it was a cold drink, there are even bigger sizes. And then in between those two are tall and grande. Of course, it doesn't surprise me that you don't remember all of this from last summer. It is rather complicated for old people to understand.
Oh, for Pete's sake, make it a tall.
Room for cream?
I asked for a black coffee.
We always ask about room for cream, irregardless.
Regardless.
Huh?
The word is regardless. Irregardless is incorrect.
Like what, Connie?
Like never mind, Brittany.
Here's your coffee. Did you want something else?
Oh, I'm sorry, Brittany. I was waiting for you to ask if I wanted fries with that. That certainly is a phrase someone on your career path should learn. Thank you.
No problem.
Having to coach cross country would be a dream if it keeps me from working for her again.
Miss Brooks, we have an extra chair here.
And the day continues. Good morning, Mr. Conklin and Mr. Boynton. So nice to see you here this wonderful morning. Good morning, Miss Enright.
Please take a seat, Miss Brooks.
Oh, I really don't have the time this morning to visit. So much to get done before we plunge ourselves into the new school year.
Yes, I see.
But what brings all of you here this morning?
Mr. Boynton and I met here this morning to discuss the plans for the biology department curriculum. You know how imperative it is to make sure our students perform well in the sciences, Miss Brooks.
Oh, yes, Mr. Conklin. Biology is so important. Don't you agree, Mr. Boynton?
No, yes, Miss Brooks. Of course, I am a biology teacher.
Indeed you are. Nice polo shirt, Mr. Boynton. I'd like to see you out of a shirt and tie more often.
Don't we all?
And you, Miss Enright, what are you here for? Certainly it isn't about the biology curriculum.
Oh, I just happened to stop in for a cup of coffee, and I saw Mr. Boynton waiting for Mr. Conklin. So I thought I'd keep him company, darling. I just hated to see Mr. Boynton sitting here all by himself.
From what I hear, you don't leave any man alone.
Anyway, Miss Brooks, I will be wanting to meet with you and Miss Enright soon about the English curriculum for the next year. The state has introduced new standards for reading comprehension, so I will want specific plans on how you mean to accomplish that.
Oh, I have all sorts of ideas for that, Mr. Conklin. I'd like to incorporate reviews of English grammar with study groups, each assigned to the great American novels. Each group would present reports on, and
Miss
then we would...
Miss Brooks, what does English grammar have to do with reading comprehension?
Well, Mr. Conklin, grammar is the foundation of the accurate conveyance of meaning in our speech from the communicator to the listener.
Miss Brooks, I don't care how these students communicate. All I care is that they remember it. Am I clear?
As always, Mr. Conklin, abundantly clear.
Oh, Mr. Conklin, I have all sorts of ideas to help reading comprehension. All kinds of quick drills, just like the tests that the students have to take. I do so want Madison High to stand out on the state tests.
And that tight blouse you're wearing certainly makes you stick out.
Oh, what was that, Miss Brooks?
Oh, just that I'd love to hear all of your ideas.
So, Miss Brooks, Miss Enright, when are you two available to meet to discuss your ideas? Miss Brooks, you do have some other ideas, don't you, Miss Brooks?
Well, of course I do, Mr. Conklin. I'm not sure when I'm available. I didn't bring my calendar.
I'm keeping my calendar wide open for you, Mr. Conklin.
Too easy.
Miss Brooks, your schedule.
Let's meet here tomorrow morning at 9.
Very well. See you both here.
Oh, good. I'll hold my breath until we meet.
Oh, you do that, Miss Enright. You do that. But now I need to be off. So much I have to, I want to get ready for our meeting.
I'm always ready.
And yes, Miss Enright, I hear that all over town. Mr. Boynton, perhaps we could compare notes sometime on how our departments could work together to score, or, I mean, improve scores.
Well, that sounds like a good idea, Miss Brooks. Maybe we should schedule a meeting with the teachers of both groups.
Oh, sure. That would work, too. But I must be off. Have a nice day, everyone.
Miss Brooks?
Sheesh. I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Excuse moi, Miss Brooks. I am so sorry. But you came running out of the door so fast it was hard for me to get out of your way.
No, and of course I run into you this morning.
Quoi?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Monet. So how are you today? Have you been having a good summer?
Bien sûr. The summer has brought me much pleasure. I have been working on lesson plans and doing a lot of walking.
Well, if there's one thing the French know how to do, it's walk.
What do you mean, Miss Brooks?
Oh, you know, walk. As in, walk away for the Germans, walk away from Paris, walk towards Vichy, or is the better word, run?
I still do not comprehend you, Miss Brooks, but no matter. I understand that the state has new standards for reading comprehension, and Mr. Conklin has told the foreign language teachers to come up with ideas to collaborate with the English teachers on this objective.
How perfect that he chose a Frenchman to collaborate.
I do not understand.
I know. Well, I am looking forward to working with you, Mr. Monet. Thank you for your help.
Pas de problème.
What did you say?
Pas de problème.
Mr. Monet, I may not remember all the French lessons I took in school, but I do remember that that is not how you say you're welcome.
It is what everyone says.
You're telling me that the French are now saying no problem?
Yes, we do. Why not?
Because it is not correct. Just because a bunch of poorly educated American children started this trend is no reason for it to jump over the pond to invade France. Regardless of however easy it is to invade France.
But language must evolve.
That may be, but not today, Monsieur Monet. I really do need to get back to a few things at home. See you at school. Oh, I swear it isn't just the English language that's in trouble, but all language.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Hi there, Stretch. Out for a long jog this morning?
Yeah, Miss Brooks. Coach wants us to have a better season than last year, so we have two practices every day until school starts.
And three a day when school starts.
How can we have three practices when we have classes to go to, Miss Brooks?
I just thought that Madison High's football coach wouldn't want school to interfere with any kind of gridiron victory.
Huh?
Oh, never mind, Stretch. So, doing anything fun this summer, besides practice?
Oh, yeah, Miss Brooks. Me and some friends have seen a few movies.
Some friends and I.
Yeah.
No, you said me and some friends, and that's bad English. The correct way to say that is some friends and I.
Really?
Boggles the mind, doesn't it, Stretch?
Yeah, I guess so. So, anyway, some friends and I saw a few movies.
Anything good?
Ant-Man was great.
No, I would imagine. So uplifting.
Oh, yeah, Miss Brooks. I learned a lot from it.
Did you go anywhere, Stretch?
Me and my family went up north for a couple of weeks to my uncle's cabin.
It's not me, and... Well, how wonderful to spend time with family. I do need to be on my way, Stretch. See you in class. I'm beginning to think my mission to have English spoken properly is hopeless. Mrs. Davis, I'm home.
Did you get to Starbucks then?
Oh, did I? I swear Madison High opened up a branch office there today.
A lot of people from school?
Everyone from school. It was as though school was already in session.
Well, it is a small town.
Too small. I saw that girl I had to work for last summer there. I see she's progressed in her career. Of course, with grammar like that, I'm surprised she could get through any interview at all.
Oh, I know. Kids these days do nothing but text on their phones. I've seen them at the store, and they're standing next to each other and texting instead of talking.
Well, it's probably a good thing. They'd have a hard time understanding each other if they actually talked. L-O-L.
Like, for sure. Oh, Connie.
Isn't that the truth? Oh, I need to do something to clear my head after all that activity. Say, does the garden need some weeding?
Always.
You mind if I do some?
Oh, not at all. I'd be happy to have your help. Thank you.
No problem.
And that was our Miss Brooks. The show was written by Steve Brown and Mike Alshup. Starring were as Constance Brooks, Vicki Dumay. Mrs. Davis was Julie Burton. Walter Denton was Jim McClure. Harriet Conklin was played by Alexa Eves. Brittany was Susan Lean. Mr. Conklin was Arthur Dexter. Mr. Boynton, Todd Eves. Daisy Enright was Rene Bouchel. Jacques Monet was Siegfried Christoph. And Stretch Snodgrass was played by Brett Hudek. And the show was directed by Barb Tyla. And now, the great Gildersleeve. It's the great Gildersleeve, brought to you by Wisconsin's finest cheeses and butter products. The great Gildersleeve is written by Steve Brown and Michael Ostrup and directed by Barb Tyla. Well, you know, before we start the show and share the show with the favorite characters in the town of Summerfield, let me share with you, and try to read the script as carefully as I can, a tip for all the homemakers who are worried about stretching ration points through the upcoming Labor Day weekend. And that means serving more of the plentiful non-ration foods. But do this one extra thing. Give them a festive touch of our delicious Wisconsin cheese and butter products. So let's join Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve as he's writing some sort of biographical sketch about none other than himself, as his nephew Leroy will be introducing him to a group of fifth graders as a show-and-tell day at the Summerfield School in a few weeks.
Good morning, class. As you know, I'm Leroy Forrester. I'm here today to introduce my favorite uncle. I call him Unc. He is raising my sister Marjorie and myself right here in beautiful Summerfield. Family life is both a trial and a treat for my uncle Throckmorton. My uncle takes very seriously his responsibility to develop the young people in his charge into responsible citizens, while very aware of his own shortcomings. Uncle Mort, as my sister calls him, appreciates his fine 10-cent cigars, good food, and more than a passing eye for pretty ladies. No, no, no! I can't have Leroy really say those things about me, even though they are true. Okay, moving on. He loves music, he can be strict. But at the end of a long, hard day down at the water company, where he's the water commissioner, he's a soft-hearted man.
Hey there, Unc. What's up? What you doing?
Well, Leroy, I'm just working on the script you need for your speech at school when you introduce me.
Gee, Unc, I hope you aren't going to make it sound too crazy.
Of course not, Leroy. Only the truth. I'd never lie, especially about myself.
Hey, here comes Marjorie. Let me ask her.
Ask me about what? Uncle Mort, what is Leroy talking about?
Well, Marjorie, you see...
Let me tell her, Unc.
Okay, Leroy, if you must.
Just so someone tells me.
Well, sis, don't get all goofy about it. Anyway, in 3 weeks, which is only our second week of school this year, we are having show and tell. And I thought I'd bring an Unc, show him off, and then tell everyone all about him.
Leroy, I guess that sounds like a good idea, but why are you having Uncle Mort write the script that both of you are talking about?
Yeah, Leroy, why is that?
Because
why?
Because only Unc can tell people what he does, and I don't want to flub it up by saying something really dumb about him.
Leroy, I do a pretty good job myself.
Of doing what, Unc?
Of saying dumb and really stupid things about myself.
Oh, Unc, we won't let that happen.
As Gildy and Leroy continue working on that speech, Bertie is down in the kitchen fixing a batch of her famous Toll House cookies. And also she's busily writing something down and walks in Marjorie.
What's you doing, Bertie, besides baking your famous cookies?
Marjorie, those cookies are for all of you to eat and also for my church bazaar this weekend.
I smelled those cookies from all the way down the block. They are the best.
Well, thank you.
Bertie, what are all those pieces of paper all over the table for?
Well, we are having a talent show at Ladies Auxiliary on Sunday night, and I'm writing a comedy sketch about my Uncle Robert. He's a real hoot.
Oh, I've heard you talk about him before, Bertie. He works at the bank, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's been there for over 20 years. They made him a vice president several years ago. Everyone just loves my Uncle Robert.
Will you let me read it when you're done?
Of course I will, Marjorie. Now, I better get back to baking up these cookies so I can get that pot roast ready to pop in the oven. You know how your uncle is when he doesn't eat right at 6 o'clock every night. And remember, you heard that from me, Bertie Lee Coggins.
I know, Bertie. He can be a bit of an old grouch sometimes.
Don't you know it.
See you at dinner, Bertie. Good luck on writing that comedy sketch for your meeting. I bet you it's going to be a real knee slapper.
That it will, Marjorie. That it will.
And even though it's almost the end of August and the weather in Summerfield is warm and sunny, but the night seemed to be getting a bit on the chilly side, which to many in this little Midwestern town seems a bit strange. And this is the topic of high-level conversation in the office of the mayor, Thomas Appleton. And this is where we find Gildy, and on the telephone is Governor John Stafford.
Yes, Governor, I'm fully aware of just how serious this problem could be.
Mayor Appleton, I know that you fully understand the seriousness of this matter, but do you think the citizens will? I mean, just your average, everyday person who doesn't follow what's going on in the world, let alone here in our own state.
Governor, I know exactly what you mean. So many people just go about their daily lives, not paying attention to what's going on all around them. That's why, Governor, I've asked our water commissioner, Mr. Gildersleeve, to join me in my office here today so we can get his everyday, average man's perspective.
That's a wonderful idea, Mayor. Mr. Gildersleeve, are you there?
Yes, I am, Governor. It's such an honor to be talking to you and to have this opportunity to provide my own perspective on this important matter.
Gildersleeve, let me be very clear. When I say that this meteorological phenomenon called the polar vortex may create very serious conditions for all of us here in our state and in the upper Midwest.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Mr. Mayor, are you and your administration prepared at a moment's notice to begin a major emergency plan to begin to store food, water, and prepare warm and protective shelters for everyone in Summerfield?
Governor, we stand ready to do our part. And let me also say, Governor, that your outstanding leadership in this matter won't go unnoticed, especially with your re-election coming up next year.
Mr. Mayor, that is the least of my concerns right now. Everything that's going on right now completely trumps any thoughts about next year's election campaign. And, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Governor?
Your role as water commissioner will be raised to an even higher level of importance.
Oh, really? And why is that?
I am creating a polar vortex go team here at the state capitol, and I'd like you to serve on my executive leadership committee.
Governor, I would be honored and so very humbled to accept such a role.
Excellent. That is wonderful, Gildersleeve.
Thank you so much, Governor.
You are so very welcome. It is my pleasure and, oh, yes, no problem.
Governor, as I said before, we all stand ready here in Summerfield to make sure all of our citizens here and across our great state are kept safe, sound, and warm this coming winter.
Thank you, Mayor Appleton, and thank you, Throgmorton. I look forward to meeting you here at the Capitol very soon. Bye-bye.
Gildersleeve, this weather situation could be quite serious, and it's obvious that the governor is looking to both myself and you to be right in the middle of the action.
I understand, Mayor Appleton. I will not let you or the citizens of the great town of Summerfield down.
I was very impressed with your answers to the governor's comments and that you seem to fully understand just what this polar vortex is all about.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I always do my homework and do my best to anticipate what might be happening next.
Well, that's always good to know. Well, I have an important luncheon meeting at the Chamber of Commerce. Let's talk more about this at my weekly department heads meetings next week.
Oh, of course, Mr. Mayor. Of course. I better find out what this whole polar vortex thing is all about. Let's see. Who would be the best person to talk to? Oh, Leroy?
Yes, Unc? What's up?
What do you know about the polar vortex?
Well, Miss Goodman in science class last year was talking all about it.
And what did she say about it?
Well, I don't have my notes right now, but here's what I remember. There's one polar vortex around the North Pole and one around the South Pole. Each polar vortex is a persistent large-scale cyclone circling the planet's geographical poles.
Interesting. And?
Well, there's something about pieces breaking off, Sometimes a piece of the polar vortex can be broken off before the end of the final warming period. If large enough, the piece can plunge over Canada and the Midwestern, Central, Southern, and Northeastern United States.
So if a piece breaks off and slides down our way, we are in for cold and stormy weather.
Yeah, Unc. That's about the long and short of it.
Well, now that Gildy has a better understanding of this whole polar vortex matter, we now find Gildy next door at Leela's house, so let's join them.
Well, how do you like your tea, Throckmorton? Strong or weak?
Well, Leela, I'm not much of a tea hound, to tell the truth. I like it anyway, especially when you are pouring it the special way that you do.
Oh, Throckmorton, you like it strong, probably, because you're so strong.
I suppose you like it weak?
Oh, silly. Tell me, what are you doing this evening? Have you any plans?
Plans? Not a thing.
Oh, good. You'll stay to dinner then.
Oh, will I? Leela, what's up? Come on, tell me.
Oh, Throckmorton, you're so impetuous.
Impetuous? What? I don't think so, Leela. I don't think that I'm overly eager about having supper with you. In fact, now that you mention supper, Bertie is making one of her famous pot roast dinners tonight. Why don't you come over and join us tonight instead?
Well, I could, but I thought you and I might want to have a nice, quiet evening together. Just the two of us. You know how much I just love your company, Throckmorton.
Well, I know you do, Leela, just as I enjoy being with you. But why don't you come on over for dinner?
Well, I guess so, Throckmorton.
That's wonderful, Leela. I know everyone will love seeing you.
Oh, Throckmorton, there's one other thing I wanted to mention. I was hoping that after dinner, maybe you'll be able to look over some important documents I just received about my taxes on this house of mine. Okay.
Dinner with you and my family will be wonder. What? Taxes? Documents? Well, I guess I could do that.
Oh, Throckmorton, you are such a smart businessman. I just don't have the head for such things.
Don't you worry your pretty little head on all that. I'm sure I can help you out. I'm sure of it.
Something sure smells good.
I know it does, Leroy. It's your favorite.
Oh, boy, Bertie. You mean your famous pot roast?
Now, why would you go and say that, Leroy? Why, it's my even more famous liver and onions.
For corn's sakes, Bertie, I know pot roast when I smell it.
Oh, I knew I couldn't fool you, Leroy. Yes, it's pot roast with mashed potatoes, brown gravy, and fresh corn on the cob.
My mouth is already watering for all that, Bertie.
Leroy, with school starting next week and summer almost over, I want to make sure you are fit as a fiddle and ready to start your new school year off on the right foot.
You are the best, Bertie.
Well, thank you, young man.
Sure thing, Bertie. I'm not a twerpy little kid, you know.
Hello, Bertie. And how's my twerpy little brother?
Very funny, Marjorie.
Bertie, have you finished that comedy sketch about your Uncle Robert yet?
Not yet, Marjorie, but it's almost done. Oh, just thinking about it makes me laugh.
Speaking of scripts, I wonder if Unc has mine ready for show and tell at my school.
Leroy, I wonder where your uncle is. He knows we're having one of my pot roast dinners tonight.
Hello, everyone. We are all here for dinner.
Mr. Gildersleeve and Miss Ransom, how are you?
Bertie, I was going to call you to let you know that I invited Leela over for your famous oh-so-delicious pot roast dinner.
Oh, Bertie, Throckmorton would just not stop talking about how wonderful your pot roast is and all the fixings are, so it was really hard for me to say no.
Oh, that's okay, Miss Ransom. The more the merrier.
Say, Unc, do you have my introduction all written and ready to go for when you come out to my school?
Well, Leroy, it's almost done. I'll have it for you by tomorrow.
You promise?
You betcha. Promise is a promise.
Time for dinner, everyone.
Oh, another great dinner, Bertie. I just love your pot roast.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. You know I always like hearing such things.
Oh, Bertie, I'd love to get your recipe for the pot roast and that wonderful and rich brown gravy.
Well, that's my grandmother's special recipe, passed down from my mother. Nothing's really written down.
I guess that means no.
Leroy!
Let me help him clearing the table.
Yes, by all means. Good idea, Marjorie. Leroy, why don't you help as well? So Leela and I can go into the den and look at some important house papers she brought over for me to help her with.
Oh, Throckmorton, you know I don't have a head for facts, figures, and numbers. You are so smart.
It's my pleasure, Leela. And you know I have a head for figures, especially yours.
Oh, Throckmorton, I don't know what I'd do without your wonderful help and guidance.
And Leela, I'll see if I can coax Bertie for that special pot roast recipe because you are so special to me.
Oh, Throckmorton, you are making me blush.
Well, there are two things I'm really good at, Leela. One is making you blush.
And the other?
Well, that's easy. Being the best water commissioner that Summerfield has ever seen.
And this has been The Great Gildersleeve. Today's show was written by Steve Brown and Mike Ostrup. Included in the cast as Gildy, Jim McClure, Leroy was Brett Hudek, Marjorie was Alexa Eves, as Birdie, Susan Lean, Mayor Appleton was Todd Eves, Governor Stafford was played by Siegfried Christoph, and Leela was Renee Bouchel. Today's show was directed by Barb Tyler. And in case you might be wondering, The Great Gildersleeve ran on the NBC radio network from August of 1941 to March of 1957. Initially written by Leonard Lewis Levinson, it was one of broadcast history's earliest spin-off programs, as Gildy was originally on The Great Fibber McGee and Molly Show. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, and also the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation in Salem, Wisconsin. Our next three shows will be broadcast live from beautiful Lake Lawn Lodge on Delavan Lake in Delavan, Wisconsin. On Saturday, October 3rd, the WGTD Radio Theater will bring you thrillers that will keep you on the edge of your seat when we feature Sorry Wrong Number and Three Skeleton Keys. On November 7th, we'll have two great detective specials, Johnny Dollar and Nora Charles, The Thin Man's Gorgeous Lady. And on December 12th, we'll have our annual holiday show when we feature Lost and Found for the Holidays, featuring Maddie, the Border Collie, where our cast helps a little lost dog find her way home for Christmas. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the award-winning 91.1 Players, I'm your host, Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening.